Thank you for joining us for the Afternoon Roundup podcast here on AW360. Welcome to day two at Advertising Week 2025. We're recording live on the ground here at 180 Studios in London at the AW360 podcast studio presented by UserCentrics. UserCentrics is on a mission to help brands build trust and drive growth by putting user consent at the core of every digital interaction. Their powerful consent management and preference management platforms are active in 195 countries and more than 2.3 million websites and apps. They make it easy for businesses to respect user choices and still deliver killer marketing results. With me today, as she was this morning, UserCentrics CMO, Adelina Peltea. Thank you. Welcome.
Hello again, Richard.
How was your day here at Advertising Week Day 2?
Very interesting. I believe I still saw a lot of AI topics, which, again, we discussed this morning, right? Maybe an overkill. I get it. It's a new tool, but like a bit of obsession. I've noticed some interesting discussions as well. Like there was one with the founder of Advertising Week interviewing someone from Synth. On stage, and they were talking a lot about how do you measure brand, like with second party data, right? Like surveying people and so on. I found that quite interesting because as the world of advertising went from like, okay, it was all about brand like decades ago, then we went into obsessive performance marketing, click, 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 get data from everywhere. A bit of abuse as well, because like maybe it got a bit creepy from the receiving end from users.
A little bit.
And now we're going back to like, okay, brand, but then marketers are rightfully so wondering, how do we measure that? And I quite like that discussion in this regard. And I think there's a lot to do in the marketing measurement space to measure trust, to measure how people value a brand and so on. So there's a lot going in that direction. I like the speech as well. By someone from, I think it was Football Co. or something like that, and with Epidemic Sound, talking about generally how to create a community, how do you play with people's emotions, so a bit different than the AI spectrum. And an interesting point there was also like, there is less need for content creation. There's like so much content out there already. There's more need for content curation now. And I think we see that everywhere, right? Like even if you go on your own social media, you probably receive a lot of private messages like, hey, have checked this, check that. That also impacts your algorithm because you're checking stuff, but then your friends are sending you stuff. Like,
yeah.
I kept telling my friends like, oh, you just screwed my YouTube algorithm now because you sent me this, I don't know, cat's video or whatever. So I see a lot of like interesting trends nowadays. I think the world of marketing was always about, okay, keep up with the trends. If anything, marketers and advertisers are very used to like, okay, what's next? I need to adapt. And that's a very good skill to have. But kind of like, let's also learn from history to our discussion this morning, right? Like, don't obsess over stuff. Like, look at things into perspective because there's always the next new shiny thing. I don't know, what are your thoughts on all this or what have you noticed today?
I'll be honest, I think you hit it right at the very end there. I think that there's a certain amount of, it's funny, what you just said resonates with me because I've always looked at technology and advertising as, you know, two distinctly different things. And one of the rules in technology for many, many, many years for people, you know, following, you know, various advances in technology, particularly things like visuals, and the ability for, you know, us to use computers to create all these amazing things in, you know, Marvel Avenger movies and things of that nature. Most of that innovation, strangely enough, a lot of people don't know this, was founded in the world of video gaming, which I always found fascinating that here's this completely different medium that is driving visuals. And when you think about it, it makes sense. You know, you go back and you think of, you know, the early video games were very primitive. And, you know, the ones now you can barely tell the difference between, you know, that and film. Advertisers are much the same. This industry has always been on the forefront of what's new, what's next, what's interesting, long before the general public is. And so you have to wonder with things like, you know, you mentioned the creation thing or the curation thing, rather. I've often wondered if the next generation of influencers aren't necessarily making content, but telling us the content that's out there that they recommend. You know, rather than an AI, rather than an algorithm, or you know, a combination of both, you know, maybe it's real human beings. You know, maybe there's a Mr. Beast of content curation that is specializing in things for Gen Alpha. Maybe there's, you know, somebody slightly older curation for, you know, whatever your individual interest might be. Because I know that, you know, as a data company, you would know this too, I'm sure, that, you know, you start to see similarities with certain demographics, that, you know, certain genders plus a certain age plus a certain, you know, living in a certain region with interests A, B, and C are usually interested in X, Y, and Z also. So it stands to reason that, you know, having that sort of a guided tour of these things, rather than, you know, I always liken all of this stuff to, you know, Spotify or Apple Music, and they're always, well, you know, you like this artist, so of course you like this artist. And you're like, no, I don't. You know, it's very rare that it picks something that, you know, I would find.
But if a friend sends you something?
But if a friend sends me something, yes. You know, because they're human. And we get right back to that thing we were talking about earlier, where human beings know they may not be able to describe very well what it is that they like about this song versus this song, or this artist versus that artist, but they know it when they hear it. And they also know that, you know, hey, if you like, I don't know, the Beatles, and I like the Beatles, then you may also like this other artist. I don't know why I picked the Beatles. I don't even like the Beatles, but what doesn't matter. It feels to me, but, you know, Apple Music figures, well, you like the Beatles, you must love the Rolling Stones. And it's like, but that's not true. You know, that's absolutely not true. It's more that human element of it, you know, and our inability, I think, to describe to an artificial being, an AI, why we feel the way we do. I've been thinking a lot about what we talked about earlier, and was just kind of running through my head all day long as I was listening to other people on the ground here talking about AI and talking about, you know, there's still a lot of things about influencers and things like that. And they're talking about, you know, all the various people they see on YouTube and so on and so forth. The one thing that they're kind of missing, and again, you get back to that shiny object syndrome problem that we have, is, yeah, the human element. You know, we don't know why we feel about certain things the way we do. We don't know why a song is catchy. And all the studying in the world is never going to tell us that. We don't know. I would have a hard time telling you, I had a meeting at lunch with a couple of people I had not met before, but I've been corresponding with through email for the event for years. One of them says to me, she goes, you know what I watch a lot on YouTube? I go, what's that? And she goes, I watch these influencers trying out different buffets in Las Vegas. And I go, there's no way. Really? And she goes, yeah. And I go, so do I. And she goes, really? And I go, yeah. And she goes, why? And I go, I don't know. Because it's such a, you know, it's one of those things where I'm never going to be able to see all of them. I'm never going to be able to try all of them. But yet there's people out there going to all of them, and they're, you know, comparing the lobster over here to the lobster over there. And it's...
That's the super niches.
Yeah, it's fascinating. I don't know what, but I'm addicted to it. I've subscribed to several of them. Some of them are great. Some of them are just awful. But I don't know what it is. And she says, well, what else do you like? And I said, all right, let's try this. I like YouTube channels where they investigate abandoned U.S. shopping malls. And she goes, that's a thing? I'm like, oh, yeah, there's so many shopping malls that died during the pandemic that just never reopened. And there's these people that will break into them at after hours and go through and go, you know, here was the Disney store. And it's just this strange, nostalgic view. You know, many of them haven't been updated for 30 years. And it's like
a thriller movie.
Yeah, it's you know, and you know, they'll hear creepy noises in the night, you know, because they always break in at night. Right. And they're like, oh, I wonder if it's haunted. Oh, I think someone's living in here. And it builds this tension. And you watch this thing and I'm like, what?
I think this is primal, right? Like, it's when you find someone, like the feeling of belonging, right? And you trust people. We were discussing this morning about there was used to be all about attention. Now it's also all about trust. If an algorithm says that, you're a bit like, oh, you know, like it's just like maybe data manipulation, like trying to see things with other things. But when you find a human being, you just resonate. You feel like you're belonging. So again, what makes us trust certain influencers, curators, or algorithms?
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, the influencer thing, there's, I always figured, you know, it's pretty basic. It's, you know, you're interested in some of the same things I am, and you have an enthusiasm or a personality that is attractive to me, you know, and you develop these strange one direction bonds with these people where, you know, hey, if my favorite Vegas buffet people don't post a video every 3 days, I start to worry, you know, did they quit? You know, and it's, I genuinely am kind of concerned because I don't want to go find new ones. And AI never does that, you know, and AI can never articulate or be excited about you know, it can try, it can do that weird fake thing that, you know, ChatGPT does where it goes, hey, now do you feel ready to tackle the day? And you're like, stop it. You know, I don't need that from you. I need that from a person. You know, it would be no different than like a virtual, you know, physical trainer or something. You know, I can't imagine that being anywhere near real life people telling me, you got this, buddy, just 10 more reps. You know, I'm going to tell the AI, yeah, no way, shut up. No, but the real person, I'll be like, yeah, I'll show you, I'll do it. I'll do 12, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's something interesting here. As you said, we can't put the finger on it. It's also a black box for emotions, just like we think it's a black box for AI. And that's why for us at UserCentrics, we still want to keep this like focus on people. Like, it's all about us in this digital space and our lives, and not just about the digital space as a void. Like, I don't know. It's like,
I think there's a lot of wisdom to that. I really do. And I think, you know, the more we look at the artificial, hopefully the more we'll understand about our real selves. I mean, that sounds a little cliche, but, you know, I really do worry that we get too far into the weeds of, you know, well, what other kinds of things can we make it do that we don't want to do? You know, well, it's doing all the things I want to do. It's not doing any of the things I don't want to do. So, you know, what good is it really doing me? Mm-hmm. You know, anything else before we depart?
I'm curious to see our speech tomorrow as well. Like, we have a speech from UserCentrics about YouTube. I think it's going to be quite informative. So I hope to see a lot of people there. I think like I'm happy to come here and see like best practices exchange and stuff like that. Like, again, it's back to like, let's learn from each other and have a community and all these things. So excited for the third and last day. How about you?
Pretty much the same. I am hoping that the film screening that they have going on here any minute now, actually it may have started, goes well. That's a very important film, I think, and has a very important message. And then I think, you know, of the things tomorrow, we'll go over, I think, in a little more detail in tomorrow morning's show about your panel and talk about that a little bit more in depth and, you know, maybe get some insights from you ahead of it that people could take into it. But yeah, for now, I mean, that's all for day two at Advertising Week Europe. And thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, and more tomorrow.